This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guests are Branford Marsalis and Harry Connick Jr., two great musicians from New Orleans who have many memories to share about the city and about each other. They have a new CD of duets called Occasion. That's Branford Marsalis playing tenor saxophone, Harry Connick Jr. at the piano. The CD Occasion is on Branford's record label Marsalis Music, for which Harry records all his instrumentals. His vocal records are on Columbia. The two musicians are from prominent New Orleans families. One of Branford's brothers is Winton. Their father Ellis is a pianist and music teacher. In fact, Harry studied with Ellis. Harry's father is the former DA of New Orleans. Harry's father and Branford's parents evacuated before the hurricane. The Marsalis home is on stilts, so it didn't flood, but the roof was damaged. The Connick home was flooded by a foot of water. Now Harry and Branford are honorary chairs of Habitat for Humanity's Operation Home Delivery, a rebuilding plan for the victims of Katrina. I asked Harry Connick and Branford Marsalis if they had childhood memories of hurricane warnings and evacuations.
I remember them closing school for a day or two or three. But we never have. I never left town. I remember. Do you remember Betsy and Camille?
Yeah.
Like
we were home.
Were you? And did you have terrible damage to the house and all that? Or
no.
Like I remember a ton of hurricanes. I remember coming home. There was a big tree on top of our house once. But that was, I mean, that's just what you dealt with in the fall, you know? I mean, it was almost like kind of a warm-up to the school year because nobody really wanted to go back to school in September anyway,
mm-hmm.
or August or September. And then the hurricane season kind of was, it kind of gave a soft landing into school because you knew you wouldn't have to go every
that's
day because
right.
there was going to be hurricanes precluding you from going every day.
You'd evacuate to a neighbor's brick house.
Yeah, right.
Whoever had the brick house had the most people in it. It would be like a party.
Kids, when you're a kid, it's fun.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of cousins in Houston that are going to school from 4 in the afternoon to 9 at night.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what a great experience for them.
Yeah.
You know,
didn't have that air of, I mean, you know, we didn't have 24-hour news. So it didn't have that air of calamity that pervades our society now.
My guests are Harry Connick and Branford Marsalis, and they have a new CD, and it's called Occasion. It's a CD of duets. It's on Branford Marsalis' label. The CD is under Harry Connick's name, but the whole CD is duets. So let's hear another one of those duets, and this is called Lose.
Thank you.
That's Harry Connick and Branford Marsalis from the new CD, Occasion, and that was called Lose. Are there things you think you bring out in each other as musicians when you're playing duets?
No, we already have those things, I think. I just think that because...
No, I disagree with that. We have them, but what you do...
I think we have them, Harry.
No, but what he brings out in me is stuff that not a lot of musicians bring out in me. It's a certain focus that doesn't get in the way of the music, but has to be there only because not a lot of musicians that you play with can do what Branford does. And in my opinion, you can't goof around. Like, you have to, how do I put this?
We were goofing around. I got the tape to prove it.
Let me put it another way. If I'm for want of another phrase, BSing on the piano, he'll know it. He'll know it immediately, and either with a look or with something that he'll play. So you can't. You have to deal with the music and its complexity too. We have a great time, but it's not like you can just screw around the whole time.
Branford, do you think that's true? That if he's BSing at the piano, that you will somehow.
Oh, he'll know.
It's my dad. It's the way my dad works. Harry knows. He studied with my dad. My dad, my parents. I didn't really realize how different my upbringing was until I moved. And then I would say things to musicians about music or about their playing or about a song, and their first reaction to me would be, well, hey, man, you can't talk to me like that, which was weird for me because when I'm around my family members, how we talk to each other is almost irrelevant as long as it pertains to what the subject matter is. And it's never taken personally. It's just, man, do this, do that. No, I don't want to do that. What about this? I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I mean, that's how we talk. It's not like, hey, you know, what you're doing is really great and what you're doing is valid. So maybe you could try, you know. We didn't operate that way. And then I came into the real world in New York and they're like, oh, I got to do that. And I'm not doing that. So I just won't work with people who need that.
So was your father really honest with you when you started playing?
Oh, of course. He was always honest. He's honest now. Both my parents are like that. So when Harry and
I
worked...
Well, it saves a lot of time. But what I mean, like, you don't... like, it's not like some two guys that grew up together having a jam session.
No.
Like, I'm not going to mention any musical names, but if I got together with some musicians from New Orleans, it would be a jam session. It would be a lot of fun, and it would be easy. I guess what I'm trying to say is playing with Branford is incredibly rewarding and emotionally fulfilling and fun, but it's not easy. Some parts are easy. Some things we play are easy.
Right.
But a lot of it is not easy. But
who's older?
Me.
Branford's got me by a couple of years. But when he was growing up, I mean, when you're in high school, those couple of years are an eternity.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was already out there on the international scene playing. And it's like the better he got, the better we had to work to get to that point. It was just a really hard, high level of work ethic that you had to get there. And the music is hard. I mean, there's things that we do that are hard. And if I'm messing it up, he's, you know.
And vice versa.
Well, we keep each other on our toes.
It's just music first and everything else second.
Right.
Like, I don't have, my ego is so big that I don't want to mess the music up. My take on what, like, when people say such and such is an arrogant person, I find them to not be particularly arrogant, but actually to be rather insecure. Because if they were really arrogant, they'd be more interested in getting the music right than worrying about how they're being perceived or whether they feel you're dissing them. All that really trite stupidity that I've often heard in my relationships with musicians, that I just can't deal with that. Because, you know, and then they'll say things and people say, what an arrogant person. And I say, well, and in my mind I'm going, no, an arrogant person would never really say that. An arrogant person would never call their music innovative. Because, you know, when you read Stravinsky's stuff, I mean, you never hear him saying, my music's really good. It's already assumed that his music is good, by him in particular. So when he talks about other musicians and how they are roaches in comparison to him, he never spends that time to talk about how good he is because it's an assumption, you know. So we never spend any time talking about that kind of foolishness.
Branford, how did you first meet Harry?
He was taking some lessons with my dad. I mean, I knew of him because he was playing on Bourbon Street. He's 8 years old.
Oh,
doing records.
Oh.
But I didn't know Harry.
Okay, be honest. Your first impression of the kid?
That's cool. I mean, first of all, as a kid, everybody that knew me, and Harry can vouch for this, I'm sure, I never really considered myself a serious candidate to become a professional musician. I didn't practice as a kid. So that competitive streak that you find in a lot of musicians, I didn't have it because I wasn't really interested in being a professional musician. I played music because I liked it. And I kind of liked everybody when I was in school. I didn't see anybody in school as my competition. So when I heard Harry, I was like, hey, yeah, cool, man. Kid's 8 years old. He's bad, man. He was playing with all them cats, you know. It was a cool thing.
I was exactly the opposite of that. Like, I thought of myself as I was extremely competitive. If anybody played the piano, I automatically put my sights on them and set out to destroy them. And, you know, Branford was coming from a family that was legendary and was already playing and playing gigs and stuff. So I looked up to him. So my job was, it wasn't about really playing it because I liked it. I mean, I loved it, but I wanted to, you know, show them what I could do and stuff like that. I was different. I had a whole different way of doing it.
Well, I didn't know that at the time. I mean, he was always cool with me. That's what I mean. We were kids. I mean, I never thought I would ever become a professional musician. So everything in high school and everything in elementary school, it was tempered with that reality.
Now, Harry studied with your father, Ellis Marsalis. Is that how you first got to really know him?
We would sit on we would stand on the porch because his dad was working. His dad was the district attorney of New Orleans. But he would come in, and me and Winton would know he was coming, and we would wait for him to get out of the car that was driving him. And then we'd like rough him up on the porch because he was much smaller then. He wasn't this real big dude. And we'd, you know, mess with his hair and hit on him. And then my dad would walk out and say, what are y'all doing? We'd say, what? Nothing. And then Harry would go in and take his lesson. So it became a ritual. You know, I think it was once a week or maybe it was twice a week. You know, and I was like, yeah, here comes Harry. Let's go get Harry. Let's get Harry. Because I had five younger brothers, but three of them were around, you know, a couple of them were around Harry's age. And we would just do that to him like we would do to our other brothers.
Harry, did you see that as a sign of affection or not?
Oh, yeah. No, I loved it. I mean, any attention, you know, shown by any of the Marsalis family always made me feel special. Because, you know, I wanted to be one of them. You know what I mean? At one point, I wanted to be one of them so bad. I mean, I dressed like them. I talked like them. Even, I say them, but it was more Winton.
Yeah,
than,
not me.
And, yeah, I never really did what you did. In fact, I was so into being Winton that you would say things sometime that would throw me. Like, I want to move to New York and go to school. You said, man, screw that. Don't go to music school. Go to, like, LSU and go watch football games and stuff. That's what you should be doing. Like, what? Mm-hmm. How could you say something like that? Yeah. You know? So, no, I wanted to be, like, the seventh Marsalis brother.
Todd,
you know?
The lost Marsalis. Todd. That's a good soap opera name. Lost Marsalis. Todd.
Right.
I'm Todd.
My guests are two great musicians from New Orleans, saxophonist Branford Marsalis and pianist and singer Harry Connick Jr. They have a new CD of duets called Occasion. Harry, were you ever self-conscious about playing while all the brothers were listening? Because I'd imagine that, you know, Ellis Marsalis would be very professional in giving you criticism. But
right.
If the brothers didn't like what you were hearing, I would imagine they wouldn't necessarily be so professional.
Well,
in the way they
I
let
was
you know.
Too bullheaded to think about that. Like, you know, I just practiced a lot and wanted to play. Keep in mind, too, that by the time I got there, Branford and Winton had already left. There was one brother, Delphio, who was, I think, a year older than me. We were in the same class at NOCA, but we were always around. But because we were such good friends, I never felt intimidated by him musically. The only time I guess I would be on guard is when, well, then Ellis would, you know, listen to me every day, so, and I felt very comfortable with him. I also kind of felt that he knew how serious I was. He knew that I was in it for the long haul. So he was always very committed to helping me and, you know, answering my questions and stuff. But the only time I would really be on guard is when Winton and Branford would come back to New Orleans and they would play and I would get a chance to play with them or sit in with them or even be around them. I really wanted to impress them. You know, I really, really wanted to. It was a huge deal when they would come back to town. I mean, I remember individual times, shows that they would play and gigs that they would play. And it was like, you know, Ellis would say, yeah, Winton and Branford are coming into town next week. And I remember when they said, yeah, Winton got this new piano player, Kenny Kirkland. And, you know, and it was I remember getting depressed when he told me that, because, like, yeah, Kenny Kirkland, you know, he's a great piano player. I'm like, oh, there go my chances of ever playing with them. And it was, but that's all I thought about. I mean, it was, my whole life was these guys.
Okay, if you could be relatively honest about this, what did you each expect the other would become musically?
I didn't have any expectations. I mean, Harry was on New York. I knew he was talented. And, you know, like when Harry started singing, that's when the whole, you know, my father was like, hey, Harry wants to sing. I'm like, so what? Let him sing.
So your father was annoyed that he wanted to sing?
Well, you know, my dad's a bebopper, man. He's a jazz guy. You know, I'm like, let him sing. What's wrong with that? You know, he's a young man. If he wants to play, he can sing for a little while, and then he can come back and play. You know, why does he have to play now? But that was the way my whole thing was, you know. My father's like, well, you know, you out there playing with Sting, so, you know. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, so what? You know, it's like the whole thing. So what? You know? And Wenton and everybody, oh, you know, he wants to sing. And, you know, Harry started singing, and that was that. You know? But I never thought that Harry would come to New York and not work. I was telling people about him. I said, yeah, there's another dude in town. He's ready to clean y'all clocks. So just look out for him. His name is Harry Connick. He's going to bust y'all open.
And, Harry, what did you expect Branford would end up doing?
I never really understood Branford, because he took such a strange path. Like, Wenton was very easy. I mentioned them in tandem only because I knew them that way.
Right, right.
And they were my only link to New York. When I moved there, I felt like because I knew them, I had some sort of right to be there. But Wenton's path was very clear. He said exactly what he wanted to do, and he did not deviate from that. Well, Branford never really said what he wanted to do. He just kind of did it. And as a young man, it was very hard for me to understand that. I remember, you don't remember this. We were walking. We must have gone somewhere. Like, you know where I think we went to Camellia Grill to get, like, one of those freezes, like a chocolate freeze or something? And we were walking back to your house.
And in
New Orleans. And I was trying to show him, like, I was doing, at that time, there was a group called what was the name? The Fat Boys. They were like the one guy in the band did like a human beatbox. Mm-hmm. And I was doing this, and I was doing some syncopated thing, trying to show him that I could mess all around with the rhythm and still know where one was. And Branford said, you know, you should really stop doing that. You should do this. And he kept, I said, bro, like, with your musicality, why would you choose? That's so stupid. That's so simple. He says, I'm telling you, man, if you're going to do that, do something at least people can dance to. Don't, you know, get. And he would always throw these weird things at me, you know.
It's not weird.
No, but it was weird,
weird
to
at
me.
The time,
and then
yeah.
I would be upset, you know, because then, I'll be honest with you. Then he goes off to play with Sting. I thought that was worse than Katrina.
Oh,
that was the worst thing ever for me. I'm like, how could he do this? How could he do? And then as I got older and I started realizing what he was doing, which is essentially he can play anything he wants to on the horn. He's living his life. He's having a great time. And it wasn't until, you know, maybe 5 years ago when I started saying, you know what? I think I'm a lot more like him than I am like Wenton or anybody else. I think we share a lot of the same beliefs, and it's really about life. It's about living your life. I can play the piano. He can play the saxophone. We know that. We both do what we have to do to get to this point. But then there's so much else out there, you know? And it's a very liberating place to be.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with singer and pianist Harry Connick Jr. and saxophonist and composer Branford Marsalis. They grew up in New Orleans, where Harry studied with Branford's father, pianist Ellis Marsalis. That's how Harry and Branford first met. Now they have a new CD of duets called Occasion. Branford, you've been on the road for the past few months?
Yeah.
Has it been hard for you to kind of continue with your tour schedule with what was happening in New Orleans? Were you torn about what?
No, the hardest part about me was just seeing all them hungry people
in the
Superdome and in the New Orleans Convention Center, you know. And Harry was one of the first people to go to the Convention Center.
I have to say, when we were in New Orleans together, Branford and I, and we drove to Houston, we had a short amount of time left, and we felt if we could just go and maybe brighten someone's day, it might be a nice thing to do. So we drove the 6 or 7 hours from New Orleans to Houston, and I'm a very kind of quietly emotional person, and I think I've never seen you. We get in nice debates and, mm-hmm. and musical and verbal, but I have never, and I hope I'm not embarrassed you by saying this, but it was extremely difficult to walk into the Astrodome and see it under its, you know, bright fluorescent lights, mm-hmm. this vast stadium filled with people from our town that were left with absolutely nothing material and nothing emotionally and no plan laid out for them. When we went into that place, we were going to play for them. It was very surreal. They had us up in sort of a press box 500 feet from them. I had a little electronic keyboard. Branford had a saxophone. He never plays. And we played, and I've never seen you like that. It was very hard for me to even look at Branford because of what it was perhaps the most, other than the death of my mother, the most difficult thing I've ever seen or I had to go through. And I'm glad you were there with me to go through it. It was profound. It was absolutely profound. And to see Branford look at these people and then we went down and were able to spend some time with the people, which was you know, important. It was something I will never, ever, ever forget.
That's tough.
I've never seen you like that. He couldn't, neither of us really, there was nothing to say.
It's tough.
It was very, very hard.
See, the floods, you grow up in New Orleans, you grew up in the Gulf Coast, you know hurricanes are coming and your number's up. One of them gonna get you. I mean, you grow up with that. We used to make jokes about it. It's almost equivalent to the kind of gallows humor you hear when you go to Israel and people talk about riding the bus. It's very similar to that. You know, yeah, bro, you know, might as well have a party, man, because the big one's going to come and wash us away. And, you know, it's like something we always. So it wasn't the hurricane so much. And it's not even the rebuilding so much as just the despair from the people who were left with nothing.
Yeah,
that's
just
the
put
hard
faces
part.
On it. It was, you couldn't get any closer. I mean, people, you know, they knew Branford, obviously. When I walked through, I mean, these people lived down the street from my dad. They go to church with my dad. They knew my mother. They, oh, little Harry, I remember seeing you play. I mean, it just.
Yeah, it's a trip.
It'll be a long time before I'm able to sort that out in my brain, if I'm ever able to.
It's a trip. And one of the great things I remember is because a lot of people were going to the Astrodome, and you know, celebrities and the like. And when we spent a couple hours, and Harry did something very Harry like. He turns to one of the sheriffs and said, "You know, Sheriff, I respect what you're doing for me, but it's going to be really hard for me to give the impression to these people that I feel that I need protection from them, and they're my people."
Well, they had assigned a bunch of security to us, and it just looks bad, you mm-hmm. know.
And there were a lot of other people who had come in with security mm-hmm. in tow around them, surrounding mm-hmm. them. So I don't even know why they go, other than because the cameras are there.
Were you able to convince them that you?
They had no issue with it.
Well, I told right. them they were, I had right. four they were,
they,
people
they,
with
they,
me.
They saw and I was on the floor talking to people, and the sheriff realized what was going on. He just backed up. So when we were leaving, he says, "I've been watching this whole thing unfold for the last week to 10 days," and he said, "I tell you. It's really nice to see two celebrities, for lack of a better word, you know, that's what he said. It's nice to see two celebrities actually come in here and talk to the people rather than talk to the cameras about the people."
Right.
And I felt
good
about
that. You feel
like an
idiot walking through there. I need 4 state troopers to walk through. And I just wanted to go and pray with them and be with them.
Do you have a sense that you have different audiences and that people know you from different parts of your life?
I think Harry more so than me. I had that for a little while when I did Jay's show.
Right, right.
Yeah, I've been on tour and gone out to the mall to get a pair of sneakers, and somebody said, "What are you doing in town?" I'm on tour. "On tour doing what?" "So playing." "Playing what?" I said, "I'm a piano player." "Oh, really? Dr. Leo, would you sign this for us? You know, we love Will and Grace. And people have no idea that I'm a musician all, which is really funny to me. And it's fantastic. People ask me sometimes, you know, on your epitaph, or how would you want to be remembered? You know, I said, listen, I just want to be remembered, you know. That's the entertainer talk. I don't care how they remember me.
So how long are you both on the road together now?
3 days.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like little, our manager won't let us play more than 2 or 3 days together. we get a little crazy. That's as far as I can expound on that.
That's right, yeah.
We'll do a few days. In other words, we went out for 3 weeks. You might read about us in the section paper. Of the paper that we're not normally in.
Police blotter. Yeah, he brings out the bad boy in me, I must admit. Mr. Connick, he has a way
It's mutual.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Oh, boy.
And
it's great to be with you.
Terry Gross! Love your show!
Love your plan.
Thank you.
Harry Connick Jr. and Branford Marsalis have a new CD of duets called Occasion. It's on Branford's record label, Marsalis Music.